It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell and Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
When you need the right advice at the right time, it's Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law, and Cecil Harvell is with us. Good morning, Cecil.
Good morning, Ben. How are you?
We're doing well. Hope you are.
Good. I'm doing well.
Okay.
I know that last week, Wes discussed covenants not to compete in the kind of employment setting, and we're going to continue that next week when Wes is back with us. He is out today. But today, Ben, I would like to discuss kind of an issue that is the estate lawyer's nightmare, which of course really means that it's the nightmare for the family. And that is these registrations of our bank accounts and our CDs, our money market accounts, and even certain stock accounts that are then made payable on death.
Mm-hmm.
Or time on death, or just simply joint with right of survivorship. Now, Ben, what I'm describing here is that when a client goes into a bank, and adds their daughter, the mom adds their daughter
right.
to her accounts.
Mm-hmm.
The reason the client does this is so that, quote, the daughter can pay her bills.
Yeah, as when she gets can't older. Do it and she gets
Correct.
Older, yeah.
But, of course, you know, the client should have a power of attorney.
Right.
Which allows the daughter access to the mother's account to, quote, pay her bills.
Right.
What the client many times doesn't realize, Ben, is that when you add your child's name to your account at the bank is more than likely going to make that account joint with right of survivorship. It's almost very difficult not to do so. That is the block that they check on the signature form.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we are seeing routinely is that, you know, a checking account with $30,000, $40,000 in it, another CD maybe with a $50,000 CD or a $25,000 CD or whatever the amount may be, is going to one child by operation of law because of this joint registration,
mm-hmm.
Which is different and distinct than what the will says, which divides the property jointly to the children or equally to the children. So, this is a real problem for the estate to come back in and get these ducks back in a row. Now, this also happens, unfortunately, at stock accounts and with financial planners who allow their clients to designate their stock accounts, their umbrella accounts, payable on death.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the argument that they sometimes confront is that it will avoid probate. Well, yes, it avoids probate. It
yeah.
goes different and distinctly than many times what their will says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They must coordinate the registration of these accounts with what their will happens to say.
Well, the problem that you're outlining here is that someone who is say put on an account just added to an account. I mean, they have equal access to the money, and if you have other kids, other heirs, then no matter what the will says, right?
Well,
I mean, they can get to it.
They at the bank sometimes they have equal access. These stock accounts with the brokers and the financial planners, they may not have access to it, but they just simply are designated payable on death, time on death. Of course, so therefore there has to be a death for them to be able to receive the funds. But that is many times different and distinctive than what the estate plan is saying. The client does not intend for that entire account to go to, you know, two children to the exclusion of whatever their last will and testament happens to say. It also depletes the estate of necessary funds in order to pay last bills, in order to pay the taxes, if any,
mm-hmm.
in order to provide any liquidity to the estate to keep up the real estate or the business or any other kind of ongoing need for the next, say, 3, 4, 5 months while the estate is pending.
Mm-hmm.
I have a file right now where the mother where the mother left, of course, you know, the estate equally to the children in her will. And then, of course, the house is in her estate. But her only accounts were payable on death.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no money in the estate to pay the light bill at the house. Now, the problem is that one of the children is not willing to refund any of the money that was payable on death.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
All right. And so the other two siblings are getting stuck with the expenses on the house.
Mm-hmm.
They, of course, are saying, well, when we sell the house, we'll get it back from him. Well, well, this is a nightmare.
Yes,
you know,
that's
right. This is upping the cost on the attorney side, on the cost side, in a fairly straightforward estate. If those accounts had just been left in her name, with her son, who was a good power of attorney, and let him pay her bills through the power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
There was no reason for the account to be payable, to be designated payable on death.
Yeah, it just, again, as you said, it just made it a simple estate pretty complicated.
It did. It really did, Ben.
And all to avoid what? I mean, to avoid
know what to avoid. Yeah. The frustrating thing is that this is information that is being provided many times by bankers and stockbrokers and financial planners. I just see it routinely, and I don't quite understand why there isn't more discussion about this. Because the advantages are just not there. The only time that I see it work is when the mother and dad have got the one and only child. And that's just simply what their will is saying, and the one and only child is going to receive all of the funds, and the one and only child is going to sell the house, so therefore they're going to pay the expenses on the house, the last taxes, the insurance, the maintenance on the house, until such time as a good realtor can sell it. Maybe in those circumstances, the payable on death or the time on death account works. But we are seeing almost on a daily basis where there is enormous frustration in settling estate under these circumstances.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a this is a all too common scenario, as you said. I mean, it's being sometimes, if not promoted, it just seems to be allowed to happen in cases without very good advice. It's sort of street knowledge thing, too. People just do it because some neighbor did it.
Well, I guess that's true. Now what is happening, because these things are so prevalent, is that on the estate planning side, we're doing the wills as we do the trust if necessary, and then we have to completely analyze how all the accounts are registered in order to make sure that they're consistent with what the plan happens to be. And of course, almost always we see that someone somewhere has registered the account joint with right of survivorship, payable on death, time on death, whatever the case might be, and we're having to unravel that. Again, what our listeners need to understand is that you have a last will and testament, and you want the terms of it to be honored, and you want your estate to be smoothly and efficiently settled. In terms of the power of attorney, that allows your child access to any and all of your funds for purposes of paying your bills while we get older. But it doesn't necessarily, Ben, it doesn't give them the right to inherit the money under the power of attorney when you're no longer living.
Mm-hmm.
It just simply gives them the right to the power, to the right, the access to the money to pay bills. So, you know, our advice is that everyone have a well-drafted power of attorney, which can be registered with the bank or the stock company in order to have access to mom or dad's money.
Mm-hmm.
But leave your money titled in your name, singularly, without any joint or time on death or payable on death registration. And allow those funds to pass through your estate and out consistent with your will. Probate in the state of North Carolina, Ben, as I've said here so many times, is so straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
Many times our clients don't need a lawyer. We see these are the files where they didn't need a lawyer, but because of these registrations, they now are needing a lawyer.
Yeah, right, right. You have to come back and put the fire out.
Yeah. Otherwise, they could have just gone to the clerk of court, and the clerk would have been very helpful to guide them through it. They would not have necessarily needed to hire a lawyer. And the estate would have gone very, very smoothly.
Where do you see that this the problem first arises? I mean, when you have those accounts that are registered that way, I mean, at what point does the other family members or family members become aware of this?
Because there are no funds in the estate to manage the property,
mm-hmm.
okay, to pay the next light bill, to pay the taxes. It takes a while to list the property
mm-hmm.
and list it with the realtor and get a buyer and sell it, okay? There are bills to be paid. There maybe is a funeral bill. Maybe it hasn't been prepaid. There are last medical bills. There's a tax return to complete and an H&R Block fee to pay or some other accountant
right.
fee to pay.
Right.
There are always a few costs.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it depends on the nature of the estate to the degree that those, to the significance of those costs. But there needs to be money in the probate estate, if you will,
to be able to
manage the estate for maybe it's only 3 months, 6 months before the estate can be closed.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
then,
here's the executor being named maybe by a will, goes to
yes.
try to pay a bill and finds out from the bank that, well, all the money went to the payable on death.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, then, of course, folks are having to pay the bills out of the money that went to them time on death.
Mm-hmm.
Well, suppose they're in a divorce.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Suppose they've died.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose they're just not willing, like this one file I've got right now, this one child, and the mother knew it, that he was always desperate for money, but
mm-hmm.
somehow the account got registered,
mm-hmm.
time on death or payable on death. He has already spent his share, his
mm-hmm.
third of the money. And the other brother and the sister now are stuck with all of the expenses.
Right, right.
Okay? They got their third, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they're having to use their third
to pay the expenses.
To pay the
expenses.
Estate.
All right. Well, there's more to come in a moment. Your questions are always welcome. You probably have either or know someone who's been in these situations. You can call and relate your story as well. 800-818-2255, 247-7282-353-4674. Hey, welcome back to the program here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station. Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. We're talking about some very important designations that are often improperly made.
Yeah. Well, one thing that our listeners need to know is that, a lot of this is very innocent. I mean, if you add your son or daughter's name to your account at the bank or your CD or your money market account, almost, I can tell you, you are almost guaranteed that that account has been made joint
mm-hmm.
with survivorship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. By putting them on the account with you, more than likely, when they die, the entirety of that account will go to that one child.
Right.
Okay? So just be very, very cautious if you have added a child to your bank account or to your money market account or to your CD. Because, again, if they have a power of attorney, they can get to those monies for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And you do need those monies to come into your estate to pay your last bills fairly between the children
mm-hmm.
before there is then the distribution. Another way that this comes up, as I was telling you during the break, Ben, is that it's so innocent usually that, mom, now grandmom, has left, $10,000 to each of the four grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
She wants them to have a little something.
Yes.
Okay.
That's right.
And yet her monies are payable on death at the brokerage firm,
mm-hmm.
The local brokerage firm, okay? So they go out to the three children, okay, payable on death. And there is not the money in the estate to fund the specific
right.
$10,000 request
right.
to the four grandchildren. The money just simply isn't there.
Yep.
Okay.
It's already moved.
It's already moved. So now, of course, the only way to fund the estate for the grandchildren is for one of the children to forego
mm-hmm.
what was made payable on death by the broker. Okay.
Right.
And allow those monies to come back into the estate. Well, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
Okay. With that, because,
yeah.
you know, sometimes, as I've said, the children
mm-hmm.
are in need of the money. They're in the midst of their lives.
Right.
With
right.
their bankruptcies and their divorces and their lawsuits, and life is happening at that level as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, you know, for them to honor that, even though some of those grandchildren are their child.
Yeah, right.
Okay. It makes the estate now difficult,
mm-hmm.
and which otherwise would have been handled, you know, I mean, very, very easily.
Well, technically, if payable on death account, it goes to a person instead of going to the estate, would that, to forego that, would they have to gift that back to the estate?
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So they may have
or,
a gift.
Well, not back to the estate as much as gift it to the children.
Then they would.
There really is no way to unwind.
Yeah.
Technically, legally, the accountings that we are to honor those
it just
requests.
Has to be out of the goodness of their heart.
It does at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and of course, again, sometimes what happens is that one of the children, you know, who wants to honor mom's wishes and will ante that back up,
right.
the other one will not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or can't ante all of it back up, or has a complaint about one of the grandchildren in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't think that they really will do well with the $10,000.
Yes, that's right.
You know, the permutations, of course, at this point are kind of endless. But anyway.
But it ends up being contrary to what the original wishes were.
Correct.
Because it did not go. It made for more trouble.
Right. The bank and the brokers do not have the will in front of them when they do these registrations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Many times. Certainly not. The will certainly isn't usually available at the bank.
Yeah.
Okay.
And probably not top of mind to ask.
No. These things are innocent mistakes that get made that create mm-hmm. nightmares down the road.
Mm.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more Let's Talk Legal here with Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law. Cecil Harvell is with us. You can go on their website and listen to past shows also to get lots of great information there as well, too, newsletters and the like. And go online at harvellandcollins.com. You'll find out how to contact all the folks there as well, too. harvellandcollins.com or call 252-726-9050. More in just a moment here with Cecil Harvell on Let's Talk Legal. We're talking about designation of different account with Cecil Harvell from Harvell and Collins, and talking about how that's often done innocently but also incorrectly and causing more problems down the line. Now, again, if there are, you mentioned that the one about
uh-huh.
the only instance
sure.
where that really works is if it's a single heir.
I guess.
Yeah.
Even then, there can be issues because it operates on the date of death to the single heir, and suppose the estate has liabilities
right.
for whatever reason, you still are in a creditor war between the creditors of the estate and the creditor of the single heir.
Right.
So even that is not completely foolproof, but I don't know. I guess these account designations, the North Carolina legislature passed these statutes to allow these registrations to be made. There is now some backup cases, if you will, some repercussion cases and some repercussion statutes about these joint accounts with right of survivorship and payable on death, because there has been so much litigation as a result of it, and slowly but surely there are some curative statutes that are moving slowly, as everything does through our legislature, but moving slowly to correct some of these things so that they are not just so casually signed at different financial planning offices and brokerage offices. Again, that's where it happens. I mean, I know that I work with a lot of brokers and financial planners, and I'm not meaning to be disparaging in any way, but I mean, it really needs to be the exception to the rule and not the general rule to present these payable on death and time on death designations to a client, because we as the estate lawyers are just seeing, you know, nightmares with them, and very simple estates that could be handled even without a lawyer, where now all of a sudden, you know, one of the children is coming in having to say, well, my brother won't do this, my sister won't do that, or their wife won't do this with the money that mom left us, you know, in the account. So it's a problem. Keep in mind that there are other also assets that pass by beneficiaries, such as an IRA,
right,
life insurance, annuity, annuities. Those also need to be dovetailed, if you will, Ben, you know, with the intention in the will and the estate planning.
It seems like a simple disclosure requirement would help there.
There are two, again, every file we now plan, well, there are two aspects of the file. One is to get the documents done, and the second aspect is to research and discern and make sure that all the account registrations and beneficiary designations are consistent with the plan. And we do that at our office routinely, but we almost always are correcting one of these designations that for whatever reason got put into place.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, as you said, so many times it is just simply said to the client that this is to avoid probate, when that's an avoidance that's unnecessary.
You have to look at, again, we have to look at the totality of all of the facts and circumstances. And just one last sentence, Ben. People in North Carolina, our good friends here, need to remember that North Carolina is a probate-friendly state. The clerks of court are here to help in these counties, Pamlico, Carteret, Craven, Onslow. They will see you through this without a lawyer many times. And also, we do not have a probate tax like they do in industrial states, Michigan, in New Jersey, New York. Yes, we have a probate fee that is based on a sliding scale, but it maxes out very quickly. And the probate fee is minimal in most estates. And we see very simple estates becoming very complex estates as a result of these account designations.
Okay. If you want to find out more about what Harvell and Collins has to offer too, you want to go online to harvellandcollins.com, and you can also reach him at 252-726-9050. I know before we finish up, Cecil, I know Wes was talking last week about some of the issues around covenants and complicated issues there.
Yes,
too.
Absolutely.
So we'll probably
we'll
back
be back on that next Tuesday.
But if you're looking to get that advice from Harvell and Collins,
and all of these issues, programs are on the internet at our website.
And also, remember, we also talk about tax issues, too, on Thursdays with Andrew Foster from Harvell and Collins, too, on life and taxes. So full service of what you need there with folks at Harvell and Collins, attorneys at law. Give them a call, again, at 252-726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City. And you can find them online at harvellandcollins.com. That's harvellandcollins.com. And join us again next week for more Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. And coming up in just a little bit here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station, we're going to be talking about, in our community moment, we're going to be talking about some of the things that are going on with the National Peace Officers Memorial Day. We'll get some information on that. We have two great authors, too, in the next hour, plus our Carteret General Spotlight on Excellence. That's all coming up in our 8 o'clock hour on Coastal Daybreak.